lots to get to today, but let's start with a review of Hubie Halloween, Adam Sandler's new movie. This from Digital Spy. They said, let's say it's aimed at parents watching with their teenage children. Even so, the humor isn't crass enough to appeal to fans of, say, Anchorman, but not endearing enough for fans of Minions. It doesn't even strike the middle ground of the Lego movie. As such, the movie begs the question, who is this movie for? Adam Sandler fans? There's better fare of his to watch than this. It also makes us wonder if this could be the film that's so bad on purpose that Adam Sandler promised he'd make it if he didn't win an Oscar for his performance in Uncut Gems. And if it isn't, send help. Not a good review there, Adam Sandler. But you know, maybe Adam and I could be friends after all. Eddie Van Halen passed away the other day at the age of 65, and I'm a huge Van Halen fan. And Adam tweeted this, terrible day for all. The favorite guitar player of our generation, such a great guy, funny as hell, and no doubt genius at what he did. Paved the way for so many, will be missed terribly. Love to his family, R.I.P. Eddie. So maybe Adam and I could just like drive around, crank some tunes, play some Halen, not talk about movies ever, argue about David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar versus even Gary Cherone. I could see Sandler being a big Gary Cherone fan. Maybe we could be buddies. But Eddie passed away. Other comedians reacted. Larry the Cable Guy said, well, this sucks. I was in 10th grade and my buddy Kyle, who played guitar, said, dude, you got to listen to this band Van Halen. And that was it. Bought every album and then all of Van Hagar's. Who was better? I say both had good memories. Thanks, Eddie, for all the memories. Bill Burr, RIP, Eddie Van Halen, thank you for all the incredible music. There was no one like you before or since. Mark Maron tweeted, adios, Eddie, you changed the world. Hashtag eruption. Jimmy Kimmel said he spent two of the best hours of his life talking to Van Halen and remembered Eddie not only as a great musician, but also a funny and lovely guy who will be missed terribly. Dane Cook shared a personal story recalling how he and his mom, who died at the age of 66 from cancer, would blast Panama in the car together. And Dane wrote, I hope my mom gets a front row cloud to see EVH tonight. Ted Alexandro tagged in. He said, I loved Eddie Van Halen solo and Beat It. Any other stuff of his I should check out? That is a good joke. Well done. Yahoo News wrote about late night dealing with the Trump topic. I talked about this earlier in the week as I was struggling with my own rhythm of recording the show and not wanting to get burned by, you know, I crack some jokes and then something happens. So Yahoo wrote about the late night guys dealing with that. And they said late night's gentlest voice, Stephen Colbert, was supposed to be taking last Friday off, but decided in response to the extraordinary news, this of the president contracting COVID, to throw together a last minute late show episode. Colbert said, this is a serious moment for our nation, and we all wish the President of the United States and the First Lady a speedy and full recovery. Colbert urged viewers to put schadenfreude aside, to separate the man from the office, and to think of the service members enlisted to fly Trump to Walter Reed. He did do a few mild jokes about the White House. A lot of people are calling Trump's diagnosis an October surprise. I think it's more like an October, well, yeah. But in the end, he settled on a message so simplistic and self-congratulatory it verged on condescending. Colbert said, I, for one, take no pleasure in Donald Trump being sick because like him or not, and for the record, not, he is the president. It's his job to run the country, and that's a tough job for anybody, and now he's got to do it while sick. Kimmel and Fallon qualified their jokes by saying you wouldn't wish the virus on your worst enemy, but then they added a jab or two. Trevor Noah took a sanctimonious tone, says Yahoo. Trevor said, as a comedian, I'm not going to lie, my first instinct was to make jokes, jokes about how a 74-year-old man who doesn't eat vegetables and eats way too much meat is literally the kind of person Corona puts in its dating profile. Instead, he decided to take the high road and use Trump's illness as an excuse for a pro-mask PSA, saying, if the president of the United States can get the coronavirus, then what excuse do the rest of us random a-holes have for not wearing a mask? People, coronavirus doesn't care about your politics. All right, let's get to some monologues. Stephen Colbert, I think this was a tweet. Do we need a super secret service to protect the Secret Service from the president? That was a tweet. Conan, good luck getting paid, Walter Reed. Michael Ian Black said, maybe I missed it, but has Trump once mentioned his sick wife? Interesting point there. I think Michael is correct. Tim Dillon, did you hear Tim on Rogan last week? Tim Dillon, his podcast is fantastic. It's edgy. But it is fantastic. You should check that out. He drops episodes on Sunday. But Tim Dillon tweeted, if Trump just shook COVID in 48 hours with a diet of McDonald's and speed, we should start considering the uncomfortable truth that he is the risen Christ. Patton Oswalt tweeted, absolutely insane and evil. This will get people killed. It will directly lead to people's deaths. We're living in a body horror film where the mutation wins. Jim Gaffigan continues to not pull his punches. He said, I'm patiently waiting for Trump, the GOP, and right-wing media to come out against traffic lights. Hashtag don't let anyone tell you to stop or go. From the monologues, Jimmy Fallon, yep, good news. It's safe for the president to return home, mostly because everyone at the White House already has the virus. Colbert, the Trump administration is now the hot zone, coming this fall from Aaron Sorkin, the Infest Wing. Hack joke, Fallon's got better writers lately. Trevor, and now at least 30 people in Trump's circle have tested positive for COVID-19. You realize that means there's been more infections at the White House over the last day than in New Zealand, Vietnam, Taiwan, Thailand, and Australia combined. The White House Rose Garden is like the wet market of America right now. Seth Meyer said, I mean, can we just assume everyone in the White House has coronavirus at this point? It's like Game of Thrones, except would be happy if it ended with Bran in charge. Trevor Noah, everyone from Trump's campaign manager to Trump's press secretary to Trump's friends have been infected with coronavirus now. It's almost like the writers of 2020 didn't know how to wrap the story up, so they were just like, they all get coronavirus, the end. Jimmy Fallon said, when she heard Trump was coming home, Melania immediately checked herself into Walter Reed. I love that joke. Fallon writers on fire. Colbert, the president tried to prove how healthy he was this weekend by releasing this photo of him at work. Now, some have pointed out that the piece of paper seems to be blank, but to defend the president, that doesn't mean he's not working, because a blank piece of paper is his COVID response plan. Fallon, it seems like a photo op, but they've really just been handing Trump blank pages to sign for the past 4 years. Trevor, yeah, basically Trump staged these photos to make it seem like he was busy at work. So what we have here is a rare case of pics and it didn't happen. Seth Meyers said, not only are we paying for your top-of-the-line medical care, but you're also missing work. I mean, did you even sign the blank piece of paper like we asked you? Trevor, and that's why this whole COVID thing is a real dilemma for President Trump, because sick man leaves hospital to continue to get round-the-clock medical attention at home is not an exactly flattering story, but sick man kicks virus's ass and can never get sick again? Now that's a good story. Trevor, what the hell kind of thing is that to say? Maybe I'm immune? I don't know. Sounds like the last thing a frat bro says right before he drinks the toilet water for $20. Trevor again, look, I don't know how it's possible to see all the damage that the coronavirus has done this year, then get seriously sick from it yourself, and then come out of the hospital and say it's no big deal. It's just like the flu. You know, you would think that somewhere along that journey, Trump would pick up a tiny, tiny bit of knowledge, but hey, maybe he's immune to that too. Kimmel, Typhoid Donnie made a Trump-umphant returned to the White House last night with a dramatic balcony scene that only an egomaniac on massive amounts of drugs would even think to stage. Seth, it's genuinely hard to recall a moment in American life that felt more unhinged than the grotesque spectacle we all witnessed last night, an infectious president on powerful steroids and experimental drugs walking around with a potentially deadly virus, making a big show of leaving the hospital, flying back to the White House at sunset, and just before Joe Biden's town hall, taking his mask off in front of the cameras and visibly gasping for air like he's been guarding LeBron James all night. Colbert, Trump coming home and taking off the mask really sends a bad message. In fact, the only thing worse than the message this sent is the actual message he sent. Kimmel, I haven't been this confused by a masked man on a balcony since Michael Jackson dangled that baby off one. Fallon, there's a lot to unpack here. First, why would he use the White House entrance with the most stairs? Fallon, seriously, I'm not sure it was safe for him to climb 22 steps before COVID. It's like the famous scene where Rocky climbs up the steps, but everyone behind him is running the opposite direction. Fallon, that's the craziest thing he's ever done on that balcony, and that's the same place where he looked straight into an eclipse. Colbert, Trump wanted this to be a show of strength, but moments after taking off his mask, he was clearly struggling to breathe. Still, it's a strong look because nothing bad ever happens to people who are famous for their balconies. You know, Mussolini, Saddam, Juliet, Trevor Noah. And I know Trump thinks this is a triumphant moment, but he's presumably still riddled with COVID and he's about to walk indoors and expose it to everyone inside. Yo, this wasn't a photo op. It was a biological attack on the White House. Trevor, I mean, there was a photographer standing right next to him. That dude is basically the world's unluckiest Instagram boyfriend. Colbert, only Donald Trump would think climbing stairs is a feat of strength. Now watch me drink water with one hand, and for my final trick, I will close this umbrella. It can't be done. Hey, how do you do it, Mary Poppins? Stephen Colbert, once on the balcony, Kim Jong-un removed his mask and said, I'm back from the hospital, and just to put any lingering doubts to rest, I've learned nothing. Kneel before me, you weak and withered, and inhale my precious droplets. Seth Meyers, by the way, the only way we could even tell that he was gasping for air was that the highly infectious president, who is actively symptomatic with a potentially deadly virus, took his mask off once he got back to the White House. Wow, so the villain is unmasked at the end of the episode. The only thing missing was Scooby-Doo and the gang. John Oliver, This from the Daily Beast. He said it's been a genuinely extraordinary week for the White House. It was news that felt both shocking and utterly inevitable. Oliver reminded us that in last week's debate, the president made fun of Joe Biden for wearing masks, saying, "I don't wear masks like Biden. He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen." Oliver said, "What are you doing? Biden wears a mask in situations where it's dangerous not to. Look, obviously the president having the coronavirus is a very big deal. They recorded their show on Saturday, so who knows what happened over the last 24 hours. What I do know is that so far the White House has handled the situation terribly. So many of the decisions that Trump and those around him have made this week look absolutely appalling in hindsight, from his family refusing to wear masks at Tuesday's debate, to failing to notify anyone on the Biden team that they might have been exposed, to the fact that the fundraiser he attended just before testing positive was a fucking buffet, but maybe the event that looks the worst took place last weekend." John was referring to the Rose Garden event, where it seems a lot of people got infected. And John said someday we might look back on that event and say, all of this began there, and there's something utterly infuriating about watching them hugging each other when many in this country haven't seen their families for months or have died alone in a hospital. And it's not just that they're putting themselves at risk. More importantly, it's they're risking infecting others. The thing about a highly contagious virus is your recklessness can make you end up killing someone you've never met, and they're still doing it. All right, I got to take a break, get some iced coffee. I got some Chappelle news. Don't leave. Be right here. From my San Antonio, comedian Dave Chappelle was spotted at the Pearl on Tuesday afternoon. It is unclear why Chappelle was roaming around town, but multiple Pearl strollers took to social media, and one even snapped a selfie with him. One guy named Julian said, "When you randomly just run into your idol, the photo shows Chappelle with a coffee in hand." Another person tweeted, "Dave Chappelle came into our store and my coworker asked him if he was from San Antonio, LOL. Some speculate that Dave Chappelle might have been visiting new Austin resident Joe Rogan. Bad news for Marc Maron. Glow has been canceled. Deadline reports the reason is due to the coronavirus pandemic shutting down production for an indefinite amount of time. And they also mentioned that the show is considered high risk due to its extensive physical scenes. Glow is a great show. And I still, I'm being honest, Alison Brie being naked in like the first scene stunned me. She's a very nice lady. Didn't mind seeing her naked, but she's also Annie from Community. And I was like, Annie's naked? I just have so many mixed emotions there. The premiere of Saturday Night Live did really well, says The Hollywood Reporter. 8.24 million viewers and a 1.8 rating among adults 18 to 49. That led all of TV in primetime and late night. And The New York Times says that the audience on Saturday night was paid. Now, before the coronavirus outbreak, it was really hard to get SNL tickets. Like, I've lived in New York and the New York area my entire life, never been to Saturday Night Live. But the audience is now being paid. The New York Times says the payments are the result of new guidelines implemented by the state of New York, which has been regulating the reopening of businesses and industries. Seems like this might have been a little bit of workaround where SNL followed the reopening guidelines by, quote, casting members of the live audience and paying them for their time. The Times quoted a guy named Sean who said that he and seven friends were in the audience and they each got a check for $150 from Universal Television, which is a division of NBC. Ludwig said, "We had no idea it'd be paid before we were handed checks. We were all very pleasantly surprised." The Times mentions that Sean is a freelance writer who runs a barbecue website and a newsletter. I don't know why the Times wanted to include that, but hey, you made my podcast there. Everybody check out Sean Ludwig's barbecue website. And from Variety, The Second City, the comedy institution that launched the careers of Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Bill Murray, and Tina Fey, and Steve Carell, is being paid up for sale. I mumbled to Steve Carell because they didn't mention Steve Carell there. I like Steve Carell. He should have been mentioned. It's being put up for sale. It's the second time in the brand's 60-year history that has been on the block. If you want to buy on that, investment bank Houlihan Lokey will advise on the sale. Boy, that's a long one. A lot going on. That's your comedy news for today. I got to get an iced coffee. See you tomorrow.